Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Religious Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
These are allegedly, according to Neil Jackson who sent them to us, written by kids in religious school. Kids are great. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. You know, I mean, how often do you not really get the gist? And if you didn't really know what the words meant,
you substitute a known word.
A word that you do know.
Exactly.
So, I mean, porcupines is fine.
Sure.
And whoever gave the kid something different to memorize was a moron. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to do one to others, not to do unto others, but to do
one.
O-N-E to others before they do one to you. Saint Paul cavorted to Christianity. He preached holy acrimony, which is another name for marriage. And speaking of marriage, most religions teach us to have only one spouse. This is called monotony. It's good. And maybe it's all true. And I am not going to make any editorial comment about any of them because...
Why not?
It could get cold out.
Which one were you thinking of commenting on? The last one?
None. I wasn't thinking of commenting on any of them.
Well, if you'd like to try to encourage my brother to make a comment that he regret, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Guys, this is Lily calling from Florence, Arizona.
Hi, Lily.
Lily.
Hello.
Where the heck is Florence, Arizona?
In the middle.
Is it an old established town, or it sounds like it's something that just sprang up out of the desert?
No, there's lots of that out here, but actually, this is one of the few old established towns around here.
Oh, it is.
Real cute and quaint, cute Main Street, that kind of thing.
And yeah. How did you get a sweet name like Lily?
My dad named me after an actress from the 20s named Lily Palmer.
No kidding.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I remember her well.
I'm glad you do.
Yeah, I think Tommy, she was a pinup. She told me Tommy had a picture of her in
his
bedroom.
I may still have a few pictures of her. Lily Palmer.
Florence, Arizona. Well, anyway, what can we do for you, Lily?
Well, I got a problem with my air in my car. I drive a 95 Ford Taurus. And it's doing the weirdest thing. When I hit the accelerator, you know, maybe halfway down, or when the car is under any kind of stress, going uphill, anything, the air conditioning sort of disappears, and the dash makes this weird sucking sound, like inhaling or something, going like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the air conditioner isn't actually stopping.
No, it's in the dash somewhere. Something's blowing, but on me.
The air can't get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you open the throttle, like you do, like trying to climb a hill,
right.
The engine vacuum goes down.
Okay.
Okay, and whatever device it is that opens and closes the little doors on the your air conditioner.
Uh-huh. Stop working.
They stop working.
See, the good news about this is that the air conditioning system is working.
Okay.
Probably. And what's not working is a little cheap piece.
Right, which is about 89 cents, but they're going to have to remove the dashboard and the engine to get to. So either you have a vacuum leak of some kind, and you can find it because you can hear it. You can hear this hissing sound.
You know, I was kind of hoping that you'd tell me this was a fatal blow to the car.
No.
Because I'd really like a new one.
Oh, really?
Oh, darn it.
Who do you have to convince of this? Is there another person involved?
Well, my husband's the optometrist here in town, so I was kind of hoping to, like, you know, get a new car out of him, but this sounds cheap enough that we may not be able to do that.
Oh, so he's making pretty good bucks there? A lot of retirees in Florence, Arizona?
Yes, indeed there are, but the town that we live in is kind of on the verge of Phoenix overtaking it, so it's growing fast.
We had a local optometrist here that had a sign in the window that was at best ambiguous, and I don't know if they still have it, and it said, "For people who can't see overpaying for their glasses. I don't ever think they realized. Anyway.
We could come up with another theory here if you really want a car.
So
we can start all over again.
Okay, sounds good.
Hi, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Lily and I'm from Arizona.
Okay, you need a new car.
Okay, thanks.
What's of interest to you, Lily? What have you been eyeing?
I have a love affair going with that new Mustang that's out. I can't help it. Yeah. Well,
really?
I'm 34, so I feel I'm approaching a midlife crisis someday, and that might be the car for me.
That's way too young for a midlife crisis.
Yeah, what are you going to do when it really hits?
Oh, no.
I've had 3 midlife crises.
Yeah.
I don't remember 2 of them.
Well, the new Mustang is really a great-looking car.
Yeah.
Buy it.
How does your husband feel about it? I mean, have you discussed this at all with him?
He just gets that look in his eyes like, I'm not sure I want to spend that kind of money at this juncture, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, tell him to lighten up. Tell him to put that sign in his window.
Yeah, I think I will.
Well, I think if you get your heart set on the Mustang, no amount of convincing from us is going to talk you out of it. I mean, the Taurus is probably going to get fixed for short money.
Okay.
So if you have to fix it, you can do it, and I think it's going to be pretty easy. On the other hand, if you're in love with this Mustang.
We can tell you how to wreck the Taurus if you want.
Where no one will know.
I would fill up the crankcase with water.
Okay.
See
if
you,
I can
Lily.
Find the crankcase, I'll try that.
Good luck. Enjoy the Mustang.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, this is Martin O'Flynn from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi, Martin O'Flynn from Texas, eh?
Yeah, Fort Worth, Texas, where the West began.
You were born there, I suppose.
Oh, well, no, actually, West Arkansas. You can tell from the accent, obviously.
It threw us for a while, but you're right. It definitely is West Arkansas.
Listen, I have a 1989 GT Mustang convertible. Ah. I got it about a year and a half ago. Has 90,000 original miles on it. I know that for a fact because it was owned by a friend's mother prior to me getting it.
Ah.
I don't drive it very often, just kind of weekends. And every now and then when I leave it in the driveway for a little too long, you know, maybe a week or so, when I start it up, I get a fair amount of smoke coming out of the passenger side exhaust pipe. I get a little from the driver's side, but mostly from the passenger side. I warm it up for a bit, and then I take it out for a drive around the block a couple of times, and it's gone.
What color is it?
The car or the smoke?
Both.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm going to say it may be a little bluish.
And what color's the smoke?
Yeah. The car's red.
Oh, the car's red. Okay.
Yes, the car's red, but the smoke is... You know, when it first used to happen, I felt like it was definitely smoke, and I thought it was maybe... oil seeping down through the valve guides, maybe, while the car's not running.
And does it use up any oil?
Oh, well, as I say, only take it out weekends, don't drive it very much. Probably doesn't use more than about a half a quart every 2 weeks or something like that.
Oh, that's quite a bit.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot, and I'm guessing, what's your concern here, Martin?
My concern is I love my car. And it's paid for, which I've never managed to do with anything I've ever owned. And so what I really don't want to be doing is damaging it too bad when I am driving it. Because once it's warmed up, the oil pressure stays pretty constant on the gauge, and the car runs well.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not burning oil. And you could be burning oil because of worn valve guides or worn valve guide seals. And,
right.
And what you need to do, I guess, is to have somebody take the valve cover off the right side, and they can easily, not easily, but fairly easily, look at the valve guide seals. And if they can't really discern whether or not they're cracked or damaged, it's not too big a job to pull off the actual valve springs.
Uh-huh.
And you pull
Good
off
morning,
the...
Good morning, Seahorse Paul.
You're on... Sorry about that, click clack, brothers.
That's all right.
I'm actually at my place of work, and we'll be diving into a swimming pool at a place near you soon.
Good.
Well, anyway, so you can have the mechanic do that to pull off the valve springs and see if the guides or the seals are worn out.
Okay, so it's more likely to be that than it is piston ring.
No, I didn't say that, but I think that's what you're hoping for. And
yes,
if they determine that the guides, in fact, are okay, and the valve guide seals are okay, then your only conclusion you can draw from that is that the rings are worn out.
Right.
And then you could decide either to rebuild the engine or to try chemical additives.
Right. Yes, I understand what chemical additives are all about. I add them to my swimming pools on a regular basis.
Yeah. So, what do? You install swimming pools?
No, actually, I maintain swimming pools. The company I work for build them, but... I just maintain them. I'm just a lowly pool tech. H2O technician.
H2O technician.
Yes.
That's good.
It's a noble profession.
Thank you very much for your advice.
All right, Martin. Good luck, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888 Car Talk.
Let's hope for the seals here.
I think so. I'm
leaning toward the seals.
Really?
No. Because it's only on one side.
Yeah, I know. It's unlikely that it's the rings. I agree with you. Why would it be seals on one side? We don't know that.
I haven't figured that out yet.
They're on the sunny side of the engine. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rebecca from Oklahoma.
Rebecca from Oklahoma.
Yes.
So what's up?
Well, I have a 93 Honda Accord that my dad gave me. Mm-hmm. And the clutch, when I first got it, was fine. I drove it from Chicago because my dad lives in Chicago and I live here. And so drove it from Chicago and it was great. I get here and the weather started getting hot about 3 weeks ago. And I tried to shift it into reverse and it wouldn't shift at all. Like I had to try to shove it into reverse. And I thought that can't be good.
And what was it doing?
Yeah.
It was very loud grinding and it went. And then it took about... This is just the first time. It took about 3 minutes for it to start shifting, like the stick would shift fluidly.
Right.
So, and then we begin engaging like right off the floor.
Right.
And then other times it'll engage like half a foot off the floor.
Whoa.
Well, this doesn't sound great.
I know. I don't think it's great at all because it's been at the mechanic and they have not called me back and my car is stuck there.
Ooh.
We do that occasionally. We try to wake people out.
Yeah, maybe they'll forget where they left it. What mechanic did I bring? I brought it to three places. I don't know.
Well, here's what I think.
Well, but wait. First of all, for future reference, next time something like this happens, don't make it grind and jam it in.
Well,
especially if it's reverse.
You're right.
Shut off the engine.
You're right.
Then it'll go into a reverse.
Go into any gear.
That's what I did.
You did?
Well, I did that like the second time. The first time I just...
You didn't tell us that. You said you gave it muscle and you jammed it in.
I did jam it.
Kicking and screaming.
And then I turned it off and I put it into reverse.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't shift out of reverse. So then I was stuck turning the car off, putting it into reverse.
Right,
right. Putting the car on.
Yeah. See, at least if you do that, I know it's inconvenient. But if you do have a clutch problem, you don't want to add to it a transmission problem because then it really runs into money.
Well, and then the question is, like, if it is going to cost a lot of money, should I give it back to my dad?
Yes.
Before I do the repairs.
Well, here's what you should do. These guys who looked at it must have, first of all, should have checked first the hydraulic clutch. This thing, I believe, has a hydraulic clutch with a master cylinder.
Absolutely.
And a slave cylinder, and it takes fluid.
Yeah.
Okay? And my first inclination was that you had a failed clutch master cylinder.
That was my first inclination, too. You have a second inclination?
I do.
Get out of town!
I do, and I'm 99% sure that I'm right.
Oh, really?
And what's wrong with this car is that one of the anti-chatter springs in the clutch has fallen out.
Anti-chatter?
And it's jammed.
And it's jammed between the flywheel
and
the disc, or between the clutch cover and the disc.
You're crazy.
But that's what it is. Or it isn't the whole spring. It's a piece of the spring.
The anti-chatter spring.
Yes. The clutch has the hub of the clutch disc has a bunch of springs, like five or six of them, that go around right around where the spline is.
Uh-huh.
And one of those is broken, and that piece occasionally gets jammed in between the pieces of the clutch and the flywheel. thus making the thing difficult to disengage. Why? Because you step on the pedal, you try to disengage it, but now, in a sense, you have a big, fat, thick clutch in there,
right,
and you can't.
Right, because the spring is the clutch disc.
Exactly.
Now.
The spring is now transmitting the power. And then the piece flies off someplace.
And then it comes back?
It comes back. Sure, because what happens? You shut the thing off.
You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy.
Rebecca, I've seen it happen at least once. I'll admit it was in Roswell, New Mexico. But tell them to yank the transmission. And I'm gonna go on our website and recommend that you be on Stump the Chumps.
Yeah.
Because I'm 100% convinced now, especially considering the razzing I just got from my brother.
Well, I will admit that it's perfectly, entirely possible.
And likely.
And I had trouble. I will admit also that I had trouble making the hydraulic diagnosis fit the symptom.
Have them yank the transmission and put a new clutch in it. That's going to fix it.
Okay.
See you, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Good
luck.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Okay, Tommy. Are you ready for your weekly puzzler hint?
Ready, willing, and able, sir.
Well, ready anyway, I guess. Back when you were young and single, or when you were between marriages, you would often invite your date out for a classic picnic of wine, cheese, and blank French bread.
Moldy French bread.
No, that's why you never got a second date. You were supposed to get crusty French bread.
Oh.
The puzzler concerned our old mechanic, our old reliable mechanic, Krusty, and his rare diagnostic abilities, and we'll have the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned. Even though J.P. Morgan Chase gets flustered and misplaces a few more billion whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from the Krusty series featuring our beloved old mechanic, Krusty, and here it is.
Mm.
Some years ago, when Krusty was in our employ and still in possession of his faculties, we had a school teacher who had taken his car to us and on which we'd done a lot of brake work. Anyway, he came in one day and said, "Guys, I'm kind of disappointed. I usually just drive, you know, back and forth to school. But now that the academic year is over, I've been doing a lot more long-distance driving, especially on weekends. And I've noticed that if I'm driving on the highway for any extended period of time, when I get off and I use the brakes, they're often not there. I lose them. I step on the brake and it sinks to the floor. It's a little scary." Mm. So as you would, you know, to placate the customer, we put the car on the lift and we pull off all the wheels and, of course, we had already sold them a master cylinder, calipers, wheel cylinders, brake shoes, and all that. So we couldn't do that again. So we combed over this thing looking for a collapsed brake hose or anything that could possibly have caused this problem. Anyway, we're going over to look if anything is wrong, and we see nothing. Everything looks fine, and everything is fine with the brakes. This whole time, Krusty is just sitting there in the inky shadows. Mentally counting his teeth, wondering how much longer he'll be able to eat corn. Anyway, after we concluded that there was nothing wrong with the brakes, Krusty asks the customer, "When did you have the exhaust system replaced?"
Ooh.
The fellow says, "Geez, as a matter of fact, I did have the system replaced right before the end of the school year. And I took it to someone else because you thieves wanted to charge me too much." Krusty says, "Well, that's the problem. So the question is, what's the problem? How could replacing one's exhaust system cause the brakes to fail?"
And how did Krusty know?
What Krusty knew was that we did all the dirty work. We eliminated everything else. Mm. And without even looking, he knew that the people who put the Jiffy muffler, the guys who put the muffler and the exhaust system in, had done something awful. They had put the exhaust pipe touching one of the brake lines. Now, exhaust temperatures can run upwards of 500 degrees, and brake fluid boils at something less than 300 degrees.
That's
this was
not
a
good.
Recipe for disaster.
I like a recipe for disaster.
So when he drove the thing at sustained high speed in the summer, that exhaust system got that brake line really hot, and the brake fluid turned into a vapor and made the pedal sink to the floor. And, of course, by the time we got the thing, everything was cooled off and everything worked normally. But when it was hot, it would fail because the brake fluid had turned to vapor.
Had vaporized, and as we know, vapors are compressible, and liquids ain't very.
Right, and you don't need any integral calculus to know that.
You
anyway,
certainly do not.
who's our winner?
The winner is Regina Warren from Suffern, New York. Suffern. And for having her answer selected...
That's where the succotash, Suffern succotash comes from.
Suffern succotash, right. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Regina is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, she can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs Collection or the collection of classics called The Hatchback of Notre Dame.
Which I strongly recommend.
I do. But whichever you choose, hurry up because we have a boat payment due in about a week.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I'm going to say, barely automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today.
Excellent.
So don't go anywhere. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. By the way, I wanted to mention, we got all kinds of emails and letters.
Oh,
and
we get stuff.
This is regarding a show that we did a few weeks ago, and it came from a fellow named Jim Betts.
Yeah.
And he said, on the show a few weeks ago, Tom and Ray mentioned that there is soundproof glass around their booth. They need to replace it. I can still hear them. Thanks, Jim.
That's good.
Give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amanda from Kirkland, Washington.
Kirkland.
It's a suburb outside of Seattle.
So what's up, Amanda?
Well, I need your guys' help big time. I am getting married on Friday, and I have a huge relationship car problem going on here.
Now you call?
Yes.
Now you call?
Friday?
I'm kind of a last-minute person.
You may have to leave him at the altar. go ahead.
Okay, well, we are recently out of college, just college graduates and with lots of student loans, of course. And we are moving to a tiny, tiny little apartment in the city in Seattle. And we are paying a huge amount for two teeny parking spaces. And we have four cars. And I need you guys to help me figure out how I can convince him to sell his car.
Wait, two of the cars are yours?
Well, here, let me give you what all the cars are.
Yeah.
I have a Toyota Corolla. And he has a Ford Ranger. Then he also has a company car, which is a minivan, and he has just recently bought a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang.
Oh.
This has been in his family since it was brand new. His grandparents bought it brand new.
Yeah, okay, this is interesting.
Yes, and he wants to restore this car and, of course, knows nothing about cars. So,
but he has no place to restore it where you're going to be living.
Listen, he's made a deal with his parents that we can park this at their house.
Oh, so you're not trying to get him to get rid of that thing?
No.
You at least appreciate that he should have the right to take part in some activity that he's happy about and pleases him. You're not trying to squelch every last ounce of happiness out of the guy's soul. Just checking.
And having the car there at your in-laws will give you ample opportunity to go there and visit with them every week.
And get a free meal.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you're dying to do.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Right.
Of course.
In-laws are great.
It'll give you a chance to bond with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And learn how you're supposed to fold your husband's underwear and all that.
So all the right. Mustang is going to Ma and Pa's house.
So now you have just two other vehicles.
Now you got the Ranger, the Corolla, and the minivan.
And the minivan is the company car, so of course we're going to keep that.
It keeps that. And what? How old is the Corolla?
The Corolla is a 93, and my mother bought it brand new and gave it to me and has had every oil change, has kept it. It's immaculate.
And how about the Ranger?
I don't know exactly what year it is. Maybe a 96.
But he can't drive the Ranger if he's driving the minivan.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
He drives the Ranger.
And I can't drive the Ranger. It's too big for me. I can't parallel park that in the city.
So we're trying to get rid of the Ranger.
I'm trying to get rid of the Ranger. And the problem is he bought this car. This was his first car, and he paid for it himself.
Well, tell him if he doesn't get rid of it, you're going to end off being his first wife.
You know, I've been telling him, and he says, well, what if we need it to haul things? It's so nice to have to haul things around with.
Yeah.
But we don't haul anything.
Well, this is a classic case of there's no good reason for it.
You know, that's what I've been telling him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and think of all the people who have things delivered that don't have pickup trucks.
What?
I mean, you go to buy a sofa. They say, oh, you don't have a pickup truck? Oh, you can't buy the sofa.
You know, pickup truck.
Right. So you can't worry about that. And more than that, if you own a pickup truck, then you end up hauling stuff for everyone else you know.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on now. Hold on.
I own a pickup truck. I know. It's a pain.
Well, why do you need the Corolla, Amanda?
Because she can drive and she feels comfortable driving the Corolla.
But do you need a car living downtown in the city?
You know, I will.
You know, I don't think you're... Where are you going to work?
Well, you know... I teach aerobics and I write at home.
Yeah. Have you considered working in a flower shop?
You know, actually, I have.
Really?
I knew I'd hit somebody.
I actually really have.
And where will you be parking any of these vehicles? On the street?
No, we can have a maximum of 2 parking spots and we're paying for both of them.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
Very
what happens if so you can't have visitors ever?
They have to park on the street.
Why can't you park on the street, your third vehicle?
Well, don't you think we need the money to... I mean, he could sell the car.
Wait a minute. You're skirting the question here. Why couldn't the pickup truck be parked on the street?
I guess the pickup truck could be parked on the street.
In which case, you could keep all 12 vehicles. Oh, if that's the case...
We can buy some more.
Well, I mean, I think you may find... I wouldn't make this into a big deal.
All right.
If I were you, even though it sounds to me like you have very strong feelings about this, and you do, and I'm not really sure why, but we'll get to that in a minute. I would just back off.
All right.
And I would, first of all, let things happen as they will. Because...
No, I don't think that's in Amanda's game plan.
Well, maybe it's not, but I'm suggesting this.
I'm very open.
Sure she is. I mean, I think she's suggestible here.
Because yes.
I think you take all 15 cars with you, right? You're paying for 2 spots, and pretty soon, he'll probably realize he doesn't need any of these cars. I mean,
so let him come to it on his own.
Wait 2 months, and he'll say... You know, Amanda, as much as I love the Ranger, I just can't justify having it.
All right. That's good advice.
Yeah, and I would just hang in there and wait till it happens.
Or the other scenario is he comes home one night and tells you that he found a terrific Buick Riviera that he wants to use.
Yeah.
And see, here's what I think.
And can you sell the Corolla because he needs your spot?
Right. I think you should get rid of the Corolla.
Really?
Well, just hear me out here. Let him keep his Ranger at Dad's house.
Okay.
And you drive the Mustang every day.
It's not drivable yet.
It's not
yet.
Drivable.
Well,
it's
fix it up. In other words, instead of putting the Mustang in storage and fixing it up 20 years from now, you send it someplace and get it fixed.
All right.
That could be a hell of a lot more fun than driving around a 93 Corolla. Trust me on this.
All right. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, that's why you called us.
Exactly. You saved our marriage.
See ya, Amanda.
Amanda,
good
luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter in Yellowknife, and I had a question for you.
Yellowknife. Wait a minute. Yeah, isn't Yellowknife in, like, Saskatchewan or someplace? Like, what is that?
Well, sort of. It's Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories in Canada. Yeah, you sort of turn right in Montana.
You turn,
oh, really?
So
you're driving west. You hang a right in Montana.
Yeah.
And then how many days later do you wind up in Yellowknife?
1,500 miles later.
Holy cow.
You'd be at my place. Yeah.
What's the nearest body of water?
Great Slave Lake. We're on Great Slave Lake, and it's one of the largest lakes in North America.
Great Slave Lake?
You've never heard of.
We've never even heard of that.
Well, all right, never mind.
What?
You have a telephone up there? Unbelievable.
I found out about your show because I was visiting my brother in Phoenix last week. And we both have old clunkers.
Oh.
And he's got an old BMW, and I've got a 1987 Dodge Ram Charger. And I was sharing some of my maintenance secrets with him, and he thinks I'm nuts.
Yeah.
They do a lot of trucking up here, ice road trucking and stuff, up to the diamond mines and stuff like that.
It's got to be ice road trucking, right?
Yeah.
Diamond mines.
Yeah. There's diamond mines all around Yellowknife, and there's these roads that go up to them.
And you have some peculiar ways of keeping your car running.
Well, I put magnets on the oil pans and on the oil filters.
Yeah.
And the theory is that inside the engine somewhere, or older ones, little bits of metal get knocked off, or there's filings, or there's stuff in there, and the magnets hold it out of the circulating oil and should extend the engine life because it isn't in there wearing or grinding things down.
Well, it can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Yeah. Yes, it's either the filter. I mean, the filter is supposed to trap those things.
That's what it does. It's called a filter.
Right. However, it's possible for bigger pieces to break through the filter, but your Alnico magnet is going to grab those suckers before they can go back and get recirculated and wreak havoc on those unsuspecting lubricated parts.
Yeah.
Right?
And for the oil pan, you put the magnets inside the oil pan.
No, on the bottom, on the outside.
That's not going to do much.
Well, these are pretty strong magnets. These magnets have a 30-pound pull.
Yeah, they'll do something.
All right,
they would do something. They would do better probably inside the pan.
But next time
you change the oil, just take one of those and plunk it inside. It'll stick to the bottom and it'll grab everything that goes by.
If it's small enough to get into the hole.
After you drain the oil.
And just put it down around that opening.
Yeah, sure.
Or you can do it while the oil is coming out and let it go all the way running down your arm.
So what other great ideas have you come up with in Yellowknife?
I guess the only other thing that we do is different is tires are always a problem because it's frozen most of the time.
Yeah.
So you buy ice tires, and we can still use studs here. And
sure.
We use studs or look for some of the softer tires.
So were you born up there, Peter?
No, I'm from Ontario, but I've been here 25 years.
And what do you do up there?
I do economic development work with the city of Yellowknife.
Economic development work? Like what?
You know, how to lure tourists up there.
Yeah,
fat chance of that.
Well, there's big fish, big lake, lots of outdoor adventure, and then we're surrounded by diamond mines.
Here's what you should do if you really want to attract tourists, is you should sprinkle around a few diamonds in places,
all over.
You know, like you wouldn't expect to find one, and you can create a frenzy. You know, there could be a diamond like on the sidewalk or in a flower bed someplace that might catch the sunlight and glisten, and a tourist would say,
walk by down
what's
the street.
This? Oh, well, you know, it's not unusual for
they
people
fall out of the sky.
To find perfectly cut diamonds in a flower bed.
And just act natural. Oh, you found one, eh?
Oh, yeah. I found two last week. Yeah. That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's smaller than the other ones I've seen today.
There you go. Well, that's my tip.
Okay.
Good luck, Peter.
Thanks very much.
Thanks
sure,
for
nice
your call.
Talking to you.
Keep trucking.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, this is a crazy man, but I like him, of course.
Of course you would. Look, it's time for us to take another much-needed break.
Much-needed? You don't expect anyone to believe that, do you?
All right, how about, well-deserved?
That's even more of a stretch.
All right, how about contractually stipulated? How's that?
I think we can sell that.
Well, look, we'll be back in a minute with a new puzzler.
And we'll try to tackle more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
Black El Camino, did you ever see me when I came out of hiding? Why'd you still pass me by? Though my memories are hazy enough to make
Even though Siri asks iPhone users to please change the station whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I did mention was slightly
automotive.
Very slightly automotive. And this came in some months or years ago. Two and a half years ago. From a phone.
But where do you keep them for 2.5 years?
Cold storage.
Are they in that bag all the time?
Like fine wine, they have to
age.
They
get better. Yeah, they do.
No, they don't get better. They get less worse. That's the difference. You know, when I'm getting desperate, they look, kind of like you. Yeah. They look better with age. No, that's not true.
This
came from a fellow named Jim Kugler, who says he stole it from Mensa.
Oh.
So is it stealing if I steal it from him?
Knowing
that he stole it.
Knowing that he stole it.
I mean, it's kind of like what Robin Hood did. Robin Hood stole from the rich who were stealing from the poor and gave it back to the poor, kind of like a wealth redistribution. And he was considered a hero.
Well, so are you.
Anyway, here it is. Did I mention that I had to obfuscate? No.
Oh, no.
My friend Richard bought himself a fancy European sports car, and one day he received a letter from his dealership asking him to stop by for a recall thing. The inspection would be completed within 30 minutes while he waited, of course. Mm-hmm. So Richard made an appointment, and he dropped off his car and was directed to the waiting room, and the hospitality hostess pointed out the magazine rack, and this was a pretty fancy dealership, and directed him to a cafe table and asked him if he would like some coffee and a brioche.
I would bet $100 that that's not on the sheet.
It is now. Richard said yes, and soon the hostess returned and provided him with a steaming cup. As he was about to put the cup to his lips, he saw an extinguished match floating in his coffee cup.
Ooh.
He called the hostess over to his table and pointed out the used match, and she cried out, "Mon Dieu!" and immediately removed the offensive cup and quickly returned saying, "I'm so sorry, sir. Here's a fresh cup." Richard, after he calmed down, tasted his coffee and then indignantly slammed his fist on the table and bellowed, "What are you trying to pull? This is the same cup of coffee. All you did was take out the match." How did he know? Now, if you think you know the answer,
this is so slightly automotive.
Well, it was about his car. If you think you know the answer, write it on the hull of a 70-foot Michelson long-range luxury sports fisher with split-level cherrywood salon, mm-hmm. full-beam master stateroom with king berth, Simrad AP20 autopilot, and stainless steel rocket launchers. And send it to Car Talk Plaza, Puzzler Tower, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if
you want to get one of these, really?
What do you mean we? You know, sabe. Look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. See, I like reading that. A 70-foot.
70-foot. I was trying to visualize that.
Yeah,
70 feet is all big.
That's 5 times longer than your
MG.
MG. Yeah.
Only 5?
Yeah. Maybe 6.
Maybe 6.
Yeah, maybe 6.
Maybe 10.
And a lot more reliable. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, guys. This is Aleko from Mankato, Minnesota.
Aleko?
Aleko.
How do you spell that?
That's A-L-E-K-O.
And where'd you say you were from?
Mankato, Minnesota.
Mankato.
Pay attention, will you? Okay, what's up, Aleko?
Well, it's a 1997 Plymouth Breeze, and every time I go over a bump with water in it, any kind of puddle, it splashes up into the undercarriage, the car shuts off and pretty much dies, and I have a chance to just pull it over before it stops rolling.
Really?
What happens then?
Well, you have to wait about 10 to 20 minutes before you can start it. Although sometimes you can actually start it while it's rolling.
So you're hitting these puddles at what, like 75? I just want to get the background info here.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's as slow as the driving in a parking lot.
Okay.
At 75. No, I'm just kidding. No, and it's 5-10 miles an hour.
And it cuts out as quickly as it would if you turn the key off. Is that true, or am I making that up?
Well, I have a little confession to make here. I'm acting as a middleman to my girlfriend's car, and she won't get on the phone.
So I
tried to ask all these questions before I got on here, but...
She's not even in the room with you, is she?
No, she's here.
She is. Oh, okay. Well, you ask her.
Okay. Does the kicker spotter do anything, or does it die? It just dies.
It just dies.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when she tries to start it, it cranks okay. It goes wah 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 wah.
Let me ask her that.
Ask yeah.
Do you want me to put her on the phone?
If you have to.
I think she wants to hang on.
Okay.
Go ahead and ask her these questions.
I knew we'd weigh you down sooner or later.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
How are you? This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're all right. We kind of feel bad you didn't want to talk to us.
I did want to talk to you, but I don't know anything about cars, so I didn't know if I'd know the right answers.
You don't have to know anything.
No, you don't. No. In fact, we're not going to give you anything useful anyway, so what difference does it make?
Okay.
So when it doesn't start, you turn the key, and it does sound like it should be starting, but it just doesn't catch.
Yeah.
So it'll...
Right.
And when it finally does start...
Mm-hmm.
Is it fine?
Yep, just like it always is.
Even as soon as it restarts,
yep.
It doesn't for a while not look good, doesn't smell good, doesn't run good?
No, I haven't noticed anything like that at all.
Well, I imagine you've taken it someplace. I hope you would have.
Well, I have, but I haven't taken it for that. I've taken it in for other things, and I've kind of asked about that along the way, and no one's ever been able to find anything.
Oh, I think you have to make this the central theme of your next visit to the repair shop, because this is important.
Okay.
You're going to get stuck someplace. I mean, I'm sure it eventually starts because whatever is getting wet is drying out, and the thing that would be most suspect in my mind is the one sensor that's closest to the ground, and that might be something called the crank angle sensor. And it may be that if that really gets soaked, that it doesn't send a signal. And when the crank sensor doesn't send the signal, you get no spark and no gas.
Okay.
Right.
And if you don't get spark and gas, it's tough to get it to run.
Isn't there supposed to be something to cover up this crank
sensor? Well, that was my next question. When was the accident? What accident, you say?
I've had several.
Okay.
Well, there is supposed to be
a covering for this thing.
Yeah, there's a splash guard underneath the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people go over speed bumps and rip those things right off.
I may have done that.
You may.
Yeah, now we get
it. Yeah, and it may be that, in fact, you don't need any pieces replaced except for that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so you got to take it in. What they'll
do. And don't be embarrassed to discuss this, because they can just put it up in the lift and they'll see in a minute that something's gone.
Okay. Is this an expensive item?
No.
No.
No, it isn't. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a sensor were bad as well.
Okay.
But it could be that just replacing the splash guard might do the trick.
That sounds great. Thank you for your advice.
I'm glad you finally got the courage to talk to us, Cindy.
Well, I appreciate the discussion. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. It wasn't so bad, was it?
No, not at all.
No, I didn't think so.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, wait a minute. This gives me an idea that we're fools to have not thought of before.
Right.
Why couldn't we have someone in the studio with us who had brains?
Oh, give us the answers.
And we can just say... Just a second. We want to talk to Cosmo here.
Well, we had somebody like that for a while.
What was it?
Bugsy used to sit on the other side of the glass with the computer. And he would input stuff, and then he started dozing off.
Plus, he couldn't type.
Right. And then we found out he was mostly playing solitaire. But he would sit there, and every once in a while...
I mean someone who knows something.
He said he knew stuff. He's our... What is he? Our technical advisor.
Spiritual?
Yeah, but we gave him the title of spiritual and menu advisor after he failed miserably in the technical department. He's doing much better in the menu advisor role. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22...
Actually, he was very helpful for cars that were more than 40 years old.
Exactly. So were we. 8255, a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hey, this is John from Golden, Colorado.
Hey, John. What's happening, man?
Golden.
Yeah, it's School of Mines there. I go to college.
Oh, yeah. Huh. So you're learning to be a miner?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So I drive a 94 Honda Civic, just hit 220,000 miles yesterday, actually.
Cool.
And still kicking strong. And so my problem, a couple months ago, my CV joint went bad. And being a poor college student, figured I'd buy one on eBay, replace it myself. And with a little help from my dad, we finally got to the joint and realized we had no idea how to actually remove the joint from the half axle. Four hours later, after cutting it off piece by piece with a grinder, we came to the conclusion that I don't think it's actually possible to remove this thing without cutting it off.
This is the outside joint?
Yes.
Yeah, there's actually a clip that you can't see.
Yep, and we saw it once we cut into it.
There you go. There you go. I had a wristwatch once that I couldn't get the back off. You know, when you want to see the gears, back in the old days when wristwatches actually had gears. Well, by the time I finally got the back off, all the gears fell out. and I realized how to get the back off. But there is, in fact, a little retaining clip on that thing which you have to spread open, and then a couple of gentle taps usually from a brass mallet, and that joint comes flying off.
We were doing some very solid taps. We were using a gear puller.
Oh,
we can
beat the snot out of that thing, and you are not going to get it to come off because that clip, even though it's a tiny little piece of metal, it's probably an eighth of an inch thick, mm-hmm. that could hold up the Brooklyn Bridge. But
let me get this right. You guys decided to do what?
We cut the joint off with a grinder. Piece by piece, there was a dozen pieces on the ground. You know, we got through the outer casing, and then we had to cut through the bearing mount.
But did that seem correct to you?
It was my dad and I, and my dad is just brilliant with this sort of stuff.
Ah. So you were able to get the joint off, in fact, and you were then down to the splined end of the axle.
Yep.
That's when you saw the clip, and you said, oh. And then, so now you've put the new joint on. I hope you slid the boot on first.
Yeah.
And you tapped the joint on. And you did this because you didn't want to extract the axle from the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
But, so how much did this joint cost, just out of curiosity?
I got it for $200 online.
Okay. Well, the next time this happens, you can go to any.
On the other side.
On the other side, because it's going to happen like in a week or two.
Wonderful.
The next time it happens, you can go to a parts store, and for less than $100, you can buy yourself an entire rebuilt axle with both joints and both boots, and you merely pop the axle out of the transmission with a big pry bar or a screwdriver.
And a bucket to catch all that
gunk. And a bucket to catch the transmission fluid. But it's pretty easy. And in fact, if you jacked up the car on one side, on the side where the axle was getting replaced, all the fluid would flow to the other side, and you wouldn't lose any. And you could get under there, providing you had the proper equipment. You know, you'd have a jack stand underneath this so the car couldn't fall on top of you and crush your head like it's happened to my brother so many times. That explains everything. And then you could pop that axle out after you'd removed it from the steering knuckle. And then you just put the other one in with a couple of taps, and you don't have to grind anything off then.
It was a six, seven-hour operation. It was pretty painful.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the reason the axle is cheaper, by the way, is that it's easier to rebuild these things because all that really goes wrong with them is the guides for the little balls in the Zeppa joint wear out, and that's what causes the joint to make noise. So the companies that rebuild these things have a machine that just grinds new grooves, and they must put oversized balls in. I don't know exactly how they do it, but when they do this thing for pennies, basically they're rebuilding the thing, whereas to build it from scratch, and you know how many pieces are in there because you beat that thing up and chopped it and ground it and did everything else to it. You know how complex
it is. Really complex.
But they're not replacing all those pieces when they rebuild them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't need to be replaced. They just need to be machined. So the rebuilt ones are a lot cheaper, and the truth is for a car with 220K, this joint you put in is going to last another 220, but the car isn't.
Yeah.
So the next time you're going to get a rebuilt axle, and most auto parts stores, in fact, every auto parts store in the world sells rebuilt axles for just about everything.
So I'm still a little unclear on how you get this guy off, because there's that little spring inside, and we knew the spring was there because
and you spread the spring open.
But it's completely encased.
Well, that's why we buy the rebuilt ones, because it comes off, but with difficulty. You know what I think you should do this weekend? Take the other side apart.
just for fun.
And just for fun, see if you can get it off without destroying the thing. but you can. There are two little tabs that stick off the end of that little spring, and I believe if you push those tabs apart, that it releases the hold on the groove in the axle, the splined axle, and it thinks literally pops. It'll practically fall off in your hand. In fact, if you held it upside down and opened that thing up, it would fall on your foot. It's hard to believe that you could have wailed on that thing for so many hours, and yet it would fall on your foot if you did it right.
Yes, that is hard to believe.
Well, you'll find out when you do the other side.
Yeah.
Good work, John. You stuck with it.
Well, I sort of had to at that point.
I guess so. I mean, good thing Dad was with you, right? He gave you the
definitely
courage.
Yeah.
Well, stick with it. You have a career in mines.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, John.
All right. Thanks for your help, guys.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, and Alosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Point Reyes, Roasted Maize, Spare Rib Braise, Donut Glaze, Frito-Lays, Mayonnaise, Vitamin K, Summer Days, Grab and Grazes, John Bugs and Wallet. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoitz. Our staff naturalist is Deirdre Oppings. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our bail bondswoman is Frida Wander. Our luncheon chef is Hannah Mia Kenatuna. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. And our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the grouchy summer school students in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1225, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, want more Car Talk?
You know, I always wonder what 4 million people shouting no would sound like. Anyway, for the few of you that are still undecided, you can always read our Dear Tom and Ray blog over at cartalk.com. We take whatever car questions people throw our way, except the ones that we don't know the answers to, which my brother, of course, accidentally deletes. Check out our Dear Tom and Ray blog right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.